Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Stevie Wonder singing about his young daughter and getting us started today on Route 51 on a show for all of the young daughters and sons and their parents. I'm Glenn Moberg. Research shows that language is vital to early childhood development. And by early, I mean in the first few months of life. The more words a baby hears, the better the results in terms of brain development, school achievement, and lifelong success. Language Environment Analysis Research, or LENA for short, was pioneered by two central Wisconsin natives, the late Terrence Paul and his wife Judith, who also co-founded Renaissance Learning of Wisconsin Rapids. Our guests today on Route 51 are Michael Baum, the Director of Early Childhood Program Development with the LENA Research Foundation, Dr. Corey Norbaum, Health Policy Fellow with the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. She is leading a drive to bring LENA to Marathon County, and Erica Huffman, Prevention and Child Advocacy Center Manager for Children's Hospital of Wisconsin and co-chair of the Marathon County Early Years Coalition. As always, we'd like to hear from you. How have you raised your children? Do you believe in the importance of reading to them, talking to them? Maybe you've got an anecdote or a story that you'd like to share with us. Give us a phone call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742, or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. Thank you all for being with us today. Everybody's here. Nobody's on the telephone. Makes for a better conversation. Michael, let's start with the history of this research. A lot of us are familiar with the story of Terry Paul and his wife Judy, who started Renaissance Learning in their home in Port Edwards, Wisconsin. Tell us about that and what led them to pioneer this LENA research technology.
Well, thanks for having us, Glenn. And as you say, this all really started in central Wisconsin in the 80s. Terry and Judy were very interested in bringing up their then young children and getting them to read more. And they developed a system which they turned into software that encourages reading. And it became the kernel from that basement in Port Edwards. It became the kernel of a very large company that now spans the country and the world, providing software that helps teachers close achievement gaps in classrooms. But during that period of time, they got increasingly frustrated that it was so difficult to close those gaps. And Terry started researching what forms the brain that leads kids to come in behind, and came across the research that shows that, as you said, it's talk in those first few months and first couple of years of life.
Mm-hmm.
So he set out to come up with a solution, and the solution is a technology that measures the amount of talk and then has programs wrapped around it to encourage parents to talk more and better with their kids.
Now, they and their LENA Research Foundation are now based in Boulder, Colorado. Of course, Terry passed away a few years ago.
Yes.
And you're a 501c3 public charity.
Right.
And your mission is to accelerate language development to improve the cognitive, social, and emotional health of children, birth to five, and close achievement gaps.
Right.
Why are those first 3 years of life so important?
Well, it's the way the brain works. And there's been an increasing amount of research, magnetic resonance imaging and so on, the last few years, that where you can actually look and see the brain in those first few months. During the first 3 to 4 years of life, a baby's brain grows to about 80% of the size it will ever grow to. And during the first couple of years, it's developing 700 new neural connections per second. So you can't see it, but the baby's brain is just growing like crazy.
700 neural connections per second?
Per second.
Are you sure of that?
Yep, absolutely. And particularly in the language centers. And the research shows that the biggest single influence on that development is the amount of language they experience, even in the womb, but especially after they're born and can start having conversations with their parents.
Now, a lot of this stems from a couple of other researchers, Drs. Betty Hart and Todd Risley. They wrote a book called Meaningful Differences back in 1995 that identified those first few months as crucial for language ability. And Dr. Risley worked with your foundation
right.
until his death in 2007.
Right. That book was really the spark that got Terry off to set the fire that became the Lena Research Foundation. Because he realized that was the key, and he brought Dr. Risley in to help develop the technology. Actually, that research took 10 years from research to publication, partly because it took them so long to crunch the numbers. They would go into homes and record families' conversations an hour at a time and then go back, and some poor graduate student would sit there counting words and counting conversations. And then they followed the kids into third grade so that they could do the statistical analysis.
So you had to wait for the kids to grow up. I mean, that's why it would take 10 years.
To get the proof, but it took months just to get the data. And Terry said, you can't wait that long. You've got to give feedback immediately, so I'm going to develop technology that will do it automatically, which is what Lena is all about.
And a lot of this is tied into the problem of poverty, which is systemic in the United States. The statistics that I read in doing my own research for this show is that kids who grow up in poverty hear 30 million fewer words during those first 3 years of life.
That was Hart and Risley's estimate, and also a lot fewer conversations, which is even more important than the sheer number of words.
Well, let's bring in our other two guests now. Corey Norbaum, what's your reaction to what you just heard?
Well, I kind of laugh because I think about learning about the neurobiology behind early childhood, and I learned more about it from an economist from the Federal Reserve Bank in Minneapolis than I did in medical school.
You got to explain that to the people who are listening. We had him as a guest on this show a few years ago.
Yes. Well, a little over a year ago, I had been asked to help out the Marathon County Early Years Coalition. They had received a grant and wanted to put together a conference to somehow get different sectors from the community together to really delve into the topic of early childhood. And at first, I really hadn't known the magnitude of the effects of those first 3 years. And in watching The Raising of America, which is a documentary about it, and talking to this economist from the Federal Reserve, it was really put into perspective.
Mm-hmm. And he basically said that this is all tied to economic development.
Correct. Correct. And, you know, basically – At this conference, I mean, really the thrust of it was around workforce development and economic development, in the sense that, I mean, Jim McIntyre, I'm not sure if it was on this show or for a newspaper quote, but basically he said, not only is this the right thing to do, but this is one of the best investments that we can make for our community and for our businesses.
So that's there's your dollars and cents argument for why people maybe might want to take a good look at this technology. Erica Huffman, your reaction to what you just heard? You're working with the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin and also with the Marathon County Early Years Coalition.
That's right. And I am so excited about this conversation for several reasons. And one is because of what Michael said about the science, what we know, and what we know based on an abundance of research about early childhood development, and what Corey said about the economic impact and the potential benefit to our entire community. But I'm also excited about it from a social worky perspective, because that's what I and Children's Hospital really bring to the table, is figuring out what's good for kids and families. What do kids need to be okay and the healthiest they can be, way beyond the medical sense of the term healthy? So I feel as though kids deserve a good start. And if we know that we could access a tool that will help them get the start they need, we should be trying to use it in our community.
Now, I'm going to quote from Stephen Warren, who's with the Lena Research Foundation. He wrote a paper called Right from Birth, and he says that within the same first grade classroom, you might have kids with vocabularies of fewer than 2,000 words learning right alongside kids with vocabularies of 10,000 words, which, of course, if you got 10,000 a 10,000 word vocabulary, that gives you a huge advantage in first grade in learning to read.
Right. In fact, a couple of other statistics are even more alarming. There's some recent studies that, to go back to your point about the connection with poverty, poor kids, fewer than 50%, about 48% of them at age 5 are ready for kindergarten, compared to about 75% for kids in moderate or high-income families. And on average, low socioeconomic status kids come in 2 years behind on their language development tests when they start school. 2 years is almost half of your lifespan if you've only been around for 5 years. That's a huge gap to overcome on the first day of school.
And if I can quote from Stephen Warren, he said, early childhood programs that we have, a lot of them are too little too late. They happen after the first 3 years of life. And the quote from him, for too many children, the gap that starts to grow in infancy is never closed.
Right, right.
He also says that kids are harmed by too much television and too little reading. He says parents should really read and talk to their kids and not have the television do it for them. Why is TV so detrimental?
Because it's not a human being. It's interesting. There was actually some research done with kids and brain scans showing, and these were kids, preverbal kids, these were 6 months old, a live person read a story to them, and you could see the language centers lighting up. And then they exposed the same kids to the same stimulus on a TV screen, and the brain basically just didn't react. There's something in the interaction between two human beings that is magic, as well as science.
Corey, you've got a medical background. You're a doctor at Aspirus Hospital, and you work with it's a medical college here in Wausau. Does that ring a bell with you?
Yes, definitely. And I mean, there are so many things that are brought out in terms of just even thinking about what I see in the clinic today. I don't think that it's just something based on socioeconomics. There are kids in all families that are lacking on that give and take, because I see so many that the kids are just glued to the devices. In the waiting room, in waiting in the room itself, the parents are on their phones. You know, this is something that we're seeing throughout society.
Erica?
And we see parents because we work with so many parents in the community, and we're often surprised that not every parent knows what we know, that really talking to your kids matters, that we work with parents who will say, but my child is only 6 months old. They don't know how to speak. What does it matter if I talk to them? So what? So it's really providing that educational and support piece to connect the dots for people. Why is this important? So what?
Let's talk about the Lena Start program. Michael, what is that and how does it work?
The Lena Start program is a parent group program. It uses the Lena technology to provide weekly feedback to the parents on how much and how well they're talking with their kids, and a few other elements, including how much time the TV is dominating the environment, which can be a negative. And then it wraps around that in that feedback very practical tips. We call them the talking tips for carrying on conversations. There's three things going on here. One is that one of the reasons parents don't talk more with their kids is they don't really know how much they are talking. All parents think they're talking with their kids, but when they get an objective measure, they sometimes find they're not talking nearly as much as they thought. The second is giving them things they can do in the course of daily life, not something they have to add on, but something they can just work in. And the third is getting them together in groups, which can be very supportive. They bond together and they work together on a common interest, which is their kids.
You've got a technology that actually helps parents track all of this. It's a colorful vest with a digital recorder in it. How does that work?
Right. That was what took several years of Terry's work and investment to develop. The little Lena device is a very sensitive recorder that records everything that goes on in the child's talk environment for a full day, and it sits in this little vest to hold it in the proper place. It's a recorder only in the sense that it records. It can't play back. It's designed then to be plugged into a computer, which turns the recorder into data and then erases the actual recording, so there's no privacy issue. The data they get back are things like number of words, number of conversations, TV minutes. There's a lot of other measures that can be pulled out of it, but those are the three primary feedback pieces.
Your literature calls it a talk pedometer.
Yeah, other people called it a tach pedometer. It's a little simplistic because it does a lot more than a pedometer. But just like a pedometer, it gives you the feedback so that you can improve.
So these results, you put the vest on your baby. It measures how much parents are talking to the baby.
Right.
And then it gets plugged into a computer. What does the computer look for?
The computer is a mass of very, very complicated algorithms that actually required a supercomputer to generate in the first place. It's counting syllables, and it's measuring a whole lot of things like proximity to the microphone so that you know that it's a talk being addressed to the child. It identifies the child's vocalizations. One of the things that it counts that actually are a lot more important than words are what's called conversational turns, which is a simple conversation. I say something, the baby says something, or vice versa. Those drive brain growth a lot more than just talking. Hmm. But that's also more difficult to do. Carrying on a conversation with a six-month-old requires some training, and that's part of the curriculum in the Lena Start program.
So the parents who sign up for this agree to put this vest on their baby. How many days a week do they have to do this?
One day a week. It's a 13-week program.
And then they plug it into the computer. Have you found parents who are leery about putting a device on their children that records conversations? I mean, maybe they're saying things around the kids that they don't want other people to hear.
Right. That's often a question we're asked going into a program. In reality, it's never been a problem. First of all, there's no way to play back. There is literally no playback on that little device. Secondly, the system doesn't recognize meanings. It doesn't even care what language you're speaking. All it's doing is counting words and conversations and other things like that.
And how does the computer measure the amount of language being spoken if it actually doesn't decipher the words? Those algorithms
about? Algorithms that are using syllable counts and a lot of other things. It took a long time to develop that, and the gold standard was checking it against human raters, because before Lena, the only way you could do that kind of thing was by having somebody listen to the conversation and make notes. And there was a very, very high correlation with human raters.
So the computer then gives the parents feedback about how they're interacting with their babies. Do you find that parents adjust their behavior based on what they're learning in those weekly sessions? Do they start talking more to their kids?
Absolutely. We have gotten some very spectacular results in terms of increases in adult words, increases in conversational turns, and also increases in minutes of reading, because reading to a child, even before they understand the words, is a great time to increase words and turns.
And where is this technology being used right now in the country? It's relatively new, but you've got a few places that are using it.
The technology itself is actually used all over the world in research, clinical applications, and interventions. The Lena Start program specifically, which is the parent group model using the technology, is right now in 5 locations, California, Alabama, Iowa, Minneapolis, and Houston, Texas. And we are expecting to open up about another 10 sites this year, of which we're very, very optimistic Marathon County is going to be one.
Well, Corey, that's your cue. you're the person who is spearheading this drive to bring it to Marathon County. What got you interested in it, and why do you want to see it here?
Well, after the Baby Business Conference, the director of WIPS gave a report to the board of directors for WIPS about what had gone on. And one of the board members emailed me to say, you need to talk to Mike Baum. And so basically, we set up a conversation. And in light of what we had learned through Baby Business and the excitement in the community, when I talked with Mike about this technology and the potential for it, and also with this group model, the potential for building social capital also was very attractive.
And what will it take to get it happening here? How much money are we talking about?
Well, you know, I've been doing a lot of there's been a lot of groundwork since, you know, like over the past 12 to 14 months. And initially just wanted to find out, is this something that people want here in Marathon County? And had some listening sessions, did some research behind some of the other sites, and basically through that have decided to try to raise the money to implement the program.
Are you going to do that with grants or with donations?
So our plans are to seek funding from local foundations for the first 2 years of implementation. And over that first 2 years, really try to perfect how we do Lena Start here in Marathon County and continually build further partnerships to make this sustainable. And we have a really good start on that part as well.
Well, I asked you specific, how much money is it going to cost?
Okay, so our initial budget for the first 2 years of implementation is $179,000.
That's a lot of money.
It is, but it isn't. So, you know, in comparison to how much it costs to do other early childhood programs that are focused on individuals, this is actually less costly. And Erica can definitely speak to that, too.
Erica, why don't you speak to that, too?
Sure. But just to give a little context to it, we're pretty fortunate in Marathon County to have a continuum of services to serve kids and families, knowing that one size doesn't fit all. There's not one approach that's going to help every single family. So we need to offer a menu of options. And I'll get to where Lena fits into that. So there are kind of the most expensive options, which are designed to serve families that have the most needs, that have the most challenges and the most complexities. And those are upwards of $3,500 per family served is the cost. Then there are services on the other end of the continuum, which involve kind of group-based parent education and support that anybody can access. And those are much less expensive, probably a couple hundred dollars per family served. And then we've got everything in between. So Lena fits kind of where one would expect financially there in that it is group-based, which makes it relatively cost-effective. You can serve a lot of families with the infrastructure we put in place.
You don't have to do home visits in order to
Correct.
Make this work.
Correct, yeah, which can be, it's an effective but costly method. But it's also targeted in a very specific way to have a specific result.
Is Children's Hospital of Wisconsin on board with this?
We have been invited to the table because of our expertise in working with kids and families. So what we hope to bring, should the funding get off the ground, should we be able to implement, which we're very hopeful about, we would bring the facilitators, the people who work directly with parents and kids in implementing this project.
And would Children's Hospital be administering, helping to administer the project? If it was to get on board here?
So we would, we've talked about kind of this unique team that we have here in Marathon County where Corey would be facilitating the effort and kind of making sure all the pieces are fitting together, and then we would be delivering the service portion of the deal.
And you've got branches in Wausau, in Portage County, in Stevens Point, in Lincoln Langlade, in Antigo and Merrill, in Wood County, in Marshfield, and Rhinelander up north. So conceivably, this could spread across all of north central Wisconsin.
We're hoping to have a big impact. If we're able to do this successfully here in Marathon County, who knows where it will go next.
Today on Route 51, our guests, Michael Baum, Director of Early Childhood Program Development with the Lena Research Foundation, Dr. Corey Norbaum, Health Policy Fellow with the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, and Erica Huffman, Prevention and Child Advocacy Center Manager for Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, co-chair also of the Marathon County Early Years Coalition. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. I'll read it live on the air. We're going to take a short break. Here's Loudon Wainwright III.
Be careful, there's a baby in the house, and a baby will not be fooled. It's a thing brand new, does what it wants to. Until you get at school, and our baby will play for real. If your I love you is an I owe you, don't expect to get a good deal.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio is provided by the Harold A. and Helen D. Engel Fund, helping to keep educational information available to communities throughout the state by providing support for Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollop, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollop, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
From the hospital that first night, took an hour just to get the car seating right. People driving off fast got me kind of upset. Got you home safe, placed you in your bassinet. That night, I don't think one wink I slept as I slipped out my bed to your crib. I crept, touched your head gently, felt my heart melt, cause I knew I loved you more than life itself. Into my knees, and I begged the Lord, please let me be a good daddy. All he needs, love, knowledge, discipline too. I pledge my life to you.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try.
Will Smith rapping about his first night at home with his newborn son as we talk about early childhood development on Route 51 with Michael Baum of the Lena Research Foundation, Dr. Corey Norbaum of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, and Erica Huffman of Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, and she is also with the Marathon County Early Years Coalition. I'm Glenn Moberg. What do you think of this conversation? Do you talk to your babies? Did you do that when you were raising them? Did you read to them? How important do you think it is? Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. Erica Huffman, tell us a little bit about the Marathon County Early Years Coalition, some of the projects you've been involved with.
Absolutely. So we are lucky in Marathon County to have a group of key stakeholders in our community that meets regularly to achieve the vision of every child being supported in their early years for a journey of lifelong success. So the Early Years Coalition kind of identifies what do kids in our community need to have that journey of lifelong success, and how can we make those things happen. So one of the major campaigns or initiatives right now is called Talk, Sing, Read, Play, which is a perfect fit for our discussion about Lena here today. It's really giving parents and caregivers the message that talk, sing, read, play, every child, every day. It's important.
Well, you've actually got a song called Talk, Sing, Read, Play. Let's listen to it. Tell us about that song. It was actually produced here in Wausau.
Well, the song is available on the raisegreatkids.org website, where anybody can go to find great resources for raising great kids. And families can find activities that they can do with their children, and they can play this song.
And it was recorded at I think, White Horse Studios here in Wausau. So you've got a local connection there. Corey and Michael, it certainly fits in with the conversation we're having about Lena technology. Corey?
Yes. Well, and I think that, you know, if Lena can be that incentive for parents, we live in a society where people look at feedback, and, you know, you look at Fitbits and what it how many people utilize Fitbits, or the research around text messaging about trying to change behaviors. And so with adding this technology twist to it and the group effort at teaching and learning, I think it can only add to the efforts.
Michael?
Everything that Erica was talking about is actually part of the Lena Start program in one way or another. The reading at each session, the parents get a read-to book, which they're encouraged to read not just to but with their kids, and they see videos showing parents interacting with the babies. And there's one video I love, which is a very young baby whose interaction is largely closing the book and chewing on it. But that allows the mom to talk with him, and he's building the brain.
Digesting the news, as we call it in this business.
Yeah, right, exactly. And the singing as well. There's a whole session on interactive song. But again, it's interactive. It's not just talking at, it's talking with.
All right, let me ask you a tough question now. Your mission is to accelerate language development to improve the cognitive, social, and emotional health of children birth to five and close achievement gaps. But aren't many of those achievement gaps rooted in poverty? You got single-parent households or households where the parents are unemployed or maybe undereducated themselves. Most of them aren't going to be interested in putting a vest on their kids with a digital recorder, are they? I mean, they're struggling just to survive and feed their children.
Poverty is definitely a challenge, but there's a couple of popular misconceptions about poverty. One is that it is the cause of a lot of difficulties. Very often, it is the effect of other difficulties that can be addressed. And the other is that it's destiny. If a kid is born into poverty and his parents were born into poverty and so on, he's just doomed and you have to give up. In fact, one of the really exciting things about Hart and Risley's research was, no, it's about talk. And if you can increase talk, you can actually change the trajectory of the child. We start with the assumption that all parents want what's best for their kids. And once they understand that something as simple as talking more will improve their futures, they get on board.
The cost to implement, $21,000 per 50 children for year one, $6,000 per year two. If you break that down per child, it's $420 for the first year, $119 for the second. Parents living in poverty don't have $420 to spend on a program like this.
That's why we don't expect them to pay for it. In all of the implementations we have or are contemplating, it's various forms of grants. It's organizations whose mission is to do this kind of thing. And the money is out there in a lot of different fashions.
Well, and I think that's what makes it interesting here is that, you know, our goal initially is to have the first 2 years of implementation be funded by foundations. But really, when we look at sustaining this, we have interest from the county. We have interest from local businesses. And in fact, we have one business that has verbally committed to helping us in the sustainability. So, I mean, I think that that's something that's been very interesting to Lena as well in terms of a different type of sustainability in that our business community seems to be very interested in this.
So the old shibboleth that business leaders and politicians aren't interested in solving the problems of poverty, maybe that's a little misguided.
Well, I mean, I think that, I mean, when we look at dollars and cents, I mean, I was just at a conference out in Washington, D.C., the Federal Reserve System, and Janet Yellen was up in front of everybody talking about how early childhood and education really gets to the heart of the matter of their two main pursuits, full employment and stable monetary and financial systems.
Erica?
And that is consistent with research that we reference as we're building programs at Children's Hospital, is that really the more investment that could be made in early childhood, the better off a community is. And I just want to go back for a minute about some of the discussion about how do you engage parents in this, especially parents who have lots of other barriers. And we're always looking for new ways to engage parents and get them excited. And I feel like this technology component is one way that might get some new parents, different parents, through the door.
Well, let's look at municipal governments. A lot of those people are concerned about keeping the roads fixed, dealing with crime, keeping taxes low. Early childhood development isn't a priority with them, is it, Corey?
Well, I think more and more they're realizing that investing early can actually be the key to lowering those costs in the future. And some of the programs that have been studied in the past have shown a return on investment. I've seen some calculations between $16 to $18 for every dollar invested. And that comes in children being more ready for school, less need for program support in school, more high school graduates, more people getting jobs, paying taxes, and less people going to prison.
Well, school districts also don't have a lot of money to spend. Their budgets have been decimated in recent years by cuts in state aid here in Wisconsin. And then they've got to deal with state-imposed property tax caps. So they can't bring in the extra money that would allow them to finance something like this.
Correct. And so if this is something that can be helpful to schools in terms of, again, getting more children ready for kindergarten.
Without the school districts actually paying for it.
Correct.
Actually, the school districts have been surprisingly interested in this, Glenn. And I'm an old school guy. When we started rolling this program out 3 or 4 years ago, I said to the folks at Lena Research Foundation, schools are never going to be interested because they don't focus on anything below kindergarten. And it was the one time in my life I was totally wrong. In fact, the first adopter was a Huntsville, Alabama school system. The school systems in Minneapolis are very much involved. And what it comes down to is they're in the business, if you will, of seeing that kids get an education and graduate. It's a lot cheaper, frankly, to not have the problem in the first place than to spend the next 12 or 14 years of a child's life trying to catch up.
In Huntsville, Alabama, that's a pretty conservative community in a conservative state.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Minneapolis, how are they implementing this? I understand it's being done through the university and school districts can kind of glom onto it.
It's actually part of Mayor Hodges' Cradle to Five or Cradle to K initiative. So it's a citywide initiative with a lot of different players. University of Minnesota brought it in. We've actually had researchers at UM working with us for many years. But the actual implementers are the school districts and some other agencies.
And for a long time, as you mentioned, you couldn't get educators interested in pre-kindergarten. They viewed that as babysitting.
Well, by coincidence, about 10 days ago, I spent 3 days in Denver at the annual conference of the National School Boards Association and talking to school board members and saying essentially what I just said, isn't it more economical to solve the problem before it starts than to chase it for the next 12 to 14 years? We had standing room only in our final presentation of this. That was how easily it resonated. And that's a big change just in the last 3 or 4 years.
And let's look at another community that has implemented the Lena Start, Providence, Rhode Island. The statistic I saw is that only 1 in 3 kids entering kindergarten are ready for kindergarten-level reading there.
Yeah. Which, sadly enough, an awful lot of big cities, that is the situation. Like the statistics I quoted before, that the average low SES kid is 2 years behind at age 5.
Now, the Lena Start program is also in English and Spanish. Have you found Spanish-speaking households interested in the product?
Oh, yeah. Several of our implementations, they'll have classes in for Spanish speakers and classes for English speakers.
And is this being used in other countries, in Latin America, for instance, where Spanish is a predominant language?
The Lena Start program isn't, but the Lena technology is used all over the world. It's been used in Mandarin Chinese. It's been used in Arabic. It is basically language neutral.
Corey?
Well, and I think that has implications in our community too, because I know that there have been questions about what about the Hmong language. And when I've had conversations with Michael and with folks out in Boulder, they don't see that as being a problem. And if it would be something in terms of bringing the Hmong language to the parents, I think that's something that we'll need to work on in terms of getting some coordinators that speak Hmong.
Erica?
Absolutely. We have to recognize what our community needs. And that's part of getting this off the ground is where do we need to focus our energy? And we may need to look at how do we serve in a way that represents the community we're serving.
Today on Route 51, our guests are Michael Baum, the Director of Early Childhood Program Development with the Lena Research Foundation, Dr. Corey Norbaum, Health Policy Fellow with the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. She's also a doctor with Aspirus, and she works with the Medical College of Wisconsin. And Erica Huffman, Prevention and Child Advocacy Center Manager for Children's Hospital of Wisconsin and co-chair of the Marathon County Early Years Coalition. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. Going to take another short break. Here's Martina McBride.
In my daughter's eyes, I am a hero. I am strong and wise, and I know no fear. But the truth is plain to see, she was sent to rescue me. I see who I wanna be.
Support for WPR comes from the Nelson Institute, presenting the 11th Annual Earth Day Conference, Hope and Renewal in the Age of Apocalypse, Tuesday, April 18th in Madison. Details are at nelson.wisc.edu. Support also comes from Attorneys Sturgill and Long, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and the Michigan Upper Peninsula. Information is at 888-613-0600.
Well, in my four-year-old set of four-letter word, it started with S, and I was concerned. So I said, son, now where'd you learn to talk like that? He said, I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants, yeah, we're just alike, hey, ain't we, Dad? I wanna do everything you do, so I've been watching you.
Rodney Atkins taking us into our final segment of Route 51 as we talk about early childhood development with Michael Baum of the Lena Research Foundation, Dr. Corey Norbaum of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, and Erica Huffman of Children's Hospital of Wisconsin and the Marathon County Early Years Coalition. I'm Glenn Moberg, 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to join the conversation, let's go to the phones right now. We have Vicki in Eagle River. Vicki, you're on Route 51. Hello, Vicki.
I just wanted to really encourage parents to read to their kids. I want to echo what you're saying because it is incredible. I'm a part-time caregiver for my grandson, and I love to read, and so I'd read to him. But we went to the library and got involved in the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten program. In 4K, he was starting already to read sight words just spontaneously. When he started kindergarten, I told his teacher that he could read, and she said, okay. And when they finally tested him, he's reading at a second grade level. So from a kindergarten child, he was five at the time. So it is crucial, and it really does help support them.
Vicki, thanks so much for your phone call. And Corey, you're getting the Marathon County Library, or at least they've been showing some interest in this program as well.
Yes, they're one of our key partners, and there are four key partners in this. The Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, but the Marathon County Public Library, and also the Medical College of Wisconsin, Central Wisconsin. But the library is key in the sense of they're going to be providing spaces for us. They're going to be providing groups of parents that are already meeting. They're going to help us out with checking devices in and out, and providing the internet services so that we can spread this to all of Marathon County with their branches. And one really neat thing, too, is that their foundation is actually donating the books for these sessions. And so this will be several thousand books that they're donating because each family gets a book each week.
And Vicki, those libraries are so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You got a question for Michael or any of our guests, or are you good?
I'm good. I just wanted to encourage everyone listening, all the parents, grandparents, everyone listening, to do this, to look into it. It sounds like a wonderful program.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. Michael Baum?
Yeah, that was a great comment, and it is a reason that reading is so central. You know, to circle back to a question you asked a few minutes ago, Glenn, about poor families and the disadvantages they face. Very often they face a disadvantage that they frankly don't have a lot of books in their home. So giving them this book once a week is a real plus. And even coaching them on how to read with their kids, frankly, many parents who are involved in programs like this don't read very well themselves and they're self-conscious. And one of the things that we coach them on in the sessions is it doesn't matter. It's just conversation with the kid. Even if it's just a picture book, it's helping build the brain.
So the fact that parents have poor vocabularies, that's a problem for the parents, of course, but it's not a debilitating problem in terms of them helping their kids learn more words.
It's not a barrier at all. And it can actually have a positive impact on the parents. You know, this is a two-generational approach. It's not just all about the kids. The whole family benefits.
The New York Times had an article called The Power of Talking to Your Baby. It was written by Tina Rosenberg. And it quotes, again, Betty Hart and Todd Risley, the people who pioneered this research. And she said, all parents give their kids directives like put away your toys or eat your broccoli. But the interaction, she said, was more likely to stop there for parents on welfare. As families' incomes rose, those interactions were more likely to be just the beginning of the conversations they were having with their young kids.
Risley and Hart actually identified that issue 20-some years ago, because some of the families that that participated in their study were poor, some of them were wealthy. And their conclusion, which has been borne out by our research, is that the more you coach the parent on having conversations with the kid, the higher percentage is the more valuable talk and less of what Todd Risley called the business talk.
And Meredith Rowe, who's with the University of Maryland, said poor women are often unaware that it's important to talk more to their babies.
Right. And often unaware that they're not talking as much as they think they are, which is why the feedback's important.
Most kids will not have access to the Lena Start program. They certainly don't have access to it right now in north central Wisconsin. Many of them will enter school. They get to the fourth grade with substandard reading skills. Some may be functionally illiterate. Do you just give up on them because they weren't reached in the first few years of their life, Corey?
No. I mean, it's easier and less expensive to intervene early on. And as time goes on, it gets more difficult, more expensive, but that doesn't mean that you give up. And there are periods of time. The other really crucial period of time is during adolescence. That's another time of really rapid synapse formation and growth.
So you've got to work on kids, but it's much easier to work on them if they're younger.
Correct. I mean, the brain pathways that develop during that 0 to 3 period, pathways from the amygdala to the prefrontal cortex, that executive center, that's something that forever is borne out.
Let's squeeze in one more phone call. Sally and Adam. Sally, we're down to our last couple of minutes here, so you're going to have to make it very brief. You're on Route 51.
Yeah, real quick. Is there any way that we could get this out in Adams County, some literature or anything like that?
Perfect question. Who wants to take it?
I would say absolutely yes. Corey's probably your first contact.
And we, you know, Marathon County, what about Portage County, Wood County, Adams County, Vilas, all of north central Wisconsin? We've got a lot of people who are listening to this right now.
Well, I mean, I think that especially if we're able to pilot this here in Marathon County as far as really try to get this up and rolling, there's no reason that it can't be expanded to other areas in central Wisconsin, because we know that Children's Hospital has those connections, WIPS has those connections, Lena potentially can have connections.
And Erica, once again, Children's Hospital, you've got branches all across the state of Wisconsin.
Over 40 locations across the state, so the potential is there. We just need to start demonstrating some success with this.
Susan Landry of Children's Learning Institute at University of Texas said, here's a quote, "I've had young moms say, I didn't know I was supposed to talk to my baby until they could say words and talk to me." Mike?
Right. This is a misconception that occurs in some whole cultures that have that feeling. But that's why you need to start early and you're educating the parent in order to educate the kid better.
We are completely out of time. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let them be little.
Put your headsets back up.
'Cause they're only that way for a while. Give them hope. Give them praise. Give them love every day. Let them cry. Let them giggle. Let them let them be little.
We want to thank today's guests, Michael Baum of the Lena Research Foundation, Dr. Corey Norbaum of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, and Erica Huffman of Children's Hospital of Wisconsin and the Marathon County Early Years Coalition. You can find out more about the Lena Research Foundation at lena.org. You can find out more about the Marathon County Early Years Coalition at raisegreatkids.org. That link is also on our Facebook page. You can find out more about the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service at wipps.org. And you can find out more about the Children's Hospital at chw.org. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Janice Schleiss. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by the Marathon County Early Years Coalition, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Stevie Wonder, Loudon Wainwright III, Will Smith, Martina McBride, Rodney Atkins, and Billy Dean. Next week on Route 51, we look at the role young professionals are playing in the development of central Wisconsin. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.